Turn your Bibles to Samuel, if you would, tonight. 1 Samuel, chapter number 3, a very familiar passage. And I know it's not missions conference. I believe yours is in November. The kids are singing that song and this message, no doubt, June, the beginning of June. And we're getting, you can say, even a missions conference song. And you can, it's very preached that way, a missions message. And I'll put a disclaimer here at the forefront of this message. 1 Samuel chapter number 3 is not a missions message. In context, it's Samuel was called for a specific purpose. And can we draw some application from that? Sure. But we're going to read this passage of Scripture, 1 Samuel. When you find your place there, I'll ask if you'll stand, if you're physically able, for the reading of the Word of God. And we'll read a few words there, and we'll get started. And I'm asked, Valerie, we're going to forego, for the sake of time tonight, that special. It tells us in 1 Samuel chapter number 3, the Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." That's key for us tonight. "And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was." And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." A great response, but you'll notice to the wrong person, because it says in verse number 5, "And he ran unto Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou callest me.' And he said, 'I called not, lie down again.' And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for thou didst call me.' And he answered, 'I called not, my son, lie down again.'" Verse number 7, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel yet the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called him. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and it shall be if,'" it's not really if, but it's when the Lord calls you, and I'll touch on that a little bit, "when, if the Lord call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as the other time, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" Heavenly Father, I do ask you to use me tonight to present and to proclaim your word. Holy Spirit of God, I am surrendered to you. I am submitted to your will. Say the words through me. I do pray to speak to hearts tonight. And I do pray, Heavenly Father, that someone here would yield to you for your perfect will for their life. I do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. When the news of William Borden was cabled back, I'll turn that on. When the news of William Borden's death was cabled back to the U.S., the story was carried by nearly every American newspaper across the country. A wave of sorrow went around the world. Borden not only gave away his wealth, but himself, in a way so joyous and natural that it seemed a privilege rather than a sacrifice, wrote Taylor in her introduction to his biography. Was Borden's untimely death a waste? No, not in God's perspective. As the story has it, prior to his death, Borden had written two more words, and I'm sure you're aware of these, in the back of his Bibles underneath the other words, no reserves, no retreats. It is reported to write down, no regrets. Can I ask you a question tonight? Will it be said of our lives that it seemed a privilege rather than a sacrifice to serve the Lord? Will our lives, will it seem to be a privilege? We watched the video just a moment ago, and last July we drove to BIMI to produce that video, and I know what my wife had written down in the script to practice and to what to say, and really going over that over and over and hearing it after it was produced, and on that drive back from Tennessee, and the Lord really, he summed it all up for us. You can say he gave us a purpose for our ministry, for others to surrender their lives to him. And I praise the Lord that we have a purpose that is driving us to the mission field. William Borden did not miss the call of God on his life. Even though he didn't make it to the mission field, he surrendered, he submitted to the will of God, and many lives have been changed because he did exactly what the Lord had called him to do. Today, with a few minutes that we have left tonight, a message that is entitled, Don't Miss the Call. Don't miss the call. Each person here has, no doubt in my mind, has a purpose. God has a purpose for your life. Samuel was a man that if you read first the chapter 1 and 2 and 3, he really didn't have an option if you really think about it. As a young boy, he was born, and his mom and his dad made a vow unto the Lord, if you give me a baby boy, I'll in turn give him right back to you, to serve you. So Samuel, he had a choice in his upbringing, and that was to be faithful where the Lord had him, to answer that purpose, that call upon his life. And I praise the Lord that he did that. And I'd like you to encourage you today that it is good and exciting when you answer the call of God. And some of us might want to, you're waiting, you don't know how the Lord is going to use you. We're waiting for the call of God. We're waiting for that thunderstorm, the lightning, the clouds to roll in, and from some audible voice to come down and talk to us and tell us what we're supposed to be doing. But often, most often now, it's that still small voice, the Lord pricking our hearts, growing our compassion for that purpose, for that mission field, for that ministry that we're supposed to be a part of, that career field even. The Lord calls us. And there's many more tonight, but there's three reasons I'd like to look at tonight that I do believe that why we are not seeing more youth, more adults surrender and answer the call of God upon their life. The first one being iniquity. The Bible is very clear that if we regard iniquity in our life, our relationship, that sin that we have, it severs our relationship with God. It quenches the Spirit, the Bible tells us. Luke 19:10 tells us, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That relationship that was lost
when sin entered into the world, when Adam sinned, when Eve sinned, that severed that relationship. And we have a responsibility each time, each day, to have that relationship. When we sin, that relationship is broken. It is strained. It is quenched. And we have a responsibility to get right with the Lord. If you'll turn to Psalm 66, if you would, I'd like to see a picture of this in Scripture, because it tells us in Psalm 66, verse number 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me and hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor have are his mercy from me. So I'd ask you tonight, how do we go from verse number 18 to 19? Where God cannot hear our prayers because there's iniquity. And then verse number 19 is very clear that he hears. Why is that? Because that's a picture of forgiveness. And I want us to see when we have iniquity, when we have sin in our lives, we need to get right with the Lord. Ryrie states, sin disqualifies the suppliant. A blameless heart gives assurance that God hears our prayer. Webster defines repentance as the change of mind or a conversion from sin, and here's the key, from sin and to God. You're agreeing with God, amen? And I pray and I hope tonight that we understand that we need to get right with the Lord every chance we have. You've heard it said before many a times, keep short accounts with God, amen? Each time when we know we quench the Spirit. And I'll just park right here. And the Lord is in these last few months since being in Texas and really to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to be led of the Spirit over and over. The Lord is teaching me and growing me in this capacity to be led of the Spirit, to allow him to have full control in my life. But I'll tell you, the more I study that, it is over and over, it is sin that quenches the Spirit. And the Spirit is not able to lead me because of my iniquity. And I praise the Lord that I have the opportunity to get right with the Lord each and every day. And even here in 1 Samuel, it's prevalent with Eli, that sin. Eli's an easy target, if you will, here in this chapter, this account. And you can go to Eli and his sons of Belial. They're stealing that good meat. And no doubt there was sin prevalent here. And God actually uses Samuel, as I stated earlier, for this purpose, this call of God that is here. We read four times the audible voice, Samuel was called for this purpose, to deliver that judgment to Eli and his family. It was already foretold. Eli had already known it was God. God had already pronounced that through the prophet. And now Samuel was to deliver its coming. It is time. No doubt in my mind it is because of sin, their iniquity, the prolonging of it. They were involved with it. They had opportunities to get right, and they did not. So the first reason why we don't answer the call of God is because of our iniquity. We're not right with the Lord. The Holy Spirit is not leading us because of our sins, but also because of tonight, we intentionally ignore. And I'm afraid this is probably too common, as I guess you would say. You know the Lord is leading you, and you just don't want to surrender. You know the Lord, you can't use me. You know what, or it's a specific task or a lifetime, and you're just, I can't do that, Lord. I'd rather do this. And I think the best biblical example that we can read about is Jonah. You can turn over there to Jonah, because it tells us in verse number 1 how he intentionally ignored this call, this purpose. And there's some things that we can draw from this passage. Now the word of the Lord, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship, so he had to research it. He didn't go on the internet. He had to actually research. He had to go ask. He went down to the docks, no doubt. He had to research, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And here's the intentional part. He not only, he went down, he researched it, but he took money out of his pocket, and he paid the fare. And that's the progress, you can even say, of sin there. So he paid the fare thereof and went down and down in it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And I'll just say, I don't know about you, Jonah, and this mistake of running from the Lord, he can have that. But and that's because I don't need to be swallowed by a whale or a great fish. I've been fishing enough in my life and cleaned plenty of mahi-mahi and yellowfin tuna when I was in Japan. And I can just tell you, them big fish, they also have big insides. And it's no fun to fillet 50, 60 fish of that size in one night. I can just imagine, because I had all of that stuff all over me from... It was just everywhere, because we decided we were going to save a few dollars and take those fish home and clean it at home when we went deep sea fishing. But to think about what Jonah had to go through because he intentionally ignored the Lord. He ran from the Lord 3 days and 3 nights. No doubt he missed out there, and he had to get right with the Lord, but what Jonah did on that mountainside as the Lord is doing a great work there in Nineveh, he's up there having that pity party when you can say one of the greatest revivals is happening known to man. And it is clear that he's still selfish. He's up there saying, woe is me, but he's missing out on the blessings of what the Lord has called him to do because he was focused on self. He ran from the Lord. He ignored the Lord. And we need to understand, if we have iniquity in our life, we're not going to be able to hear the call of God. We're not going to be able to heed it. If we ignore the call of God, the Lord is not pleased. No doubt it quenches him. But lastly, tonight, we just might not know. We might just be ignorant. Samuel here in verse number 3, it tells us in, chapter number 3, verse number 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And that, what that simply means is, Samuel, if you think about it, Joshua's a great example. He's 7 years old. Samuel is being raised there in the temple. He is no doubt ministering, but at that time he had not heard audibly the voice. Although he was, you can say, ignorant to that fact. He did not know or how to discern the call of God. You and I may not know how to discern the call of God. And I praise the Lord. I see a pastor that has pastored this church for 43 years, other missionaries and other laborers and assistant pastors and gentlemen and ladies tonight. You have men of God that have walked with the Lord for many a years and just might know that the Lord is calling you to do some. So I suggest that you set aside your pride and go say, Pastor, I believe the Lord is calling me to do this. Can you pray with me? Can you show me from Scripture? Because that's exactly what Joshua did back in, I believe it was September. The Lord is working on his heart to preach the Word of God. He came to Mommy and Daddy after being in a conference up in Virginia, and he said, "Mom, Dad, how do I know the Lord is calling me to preach?" And we opened up Scripture and showed him from the Bible how to answer the will of God upon his life, whatever that may be. And it took a little bit, but in November, he answered that call. After evening service and a conference there in November, he came back unbeknownst to us, and he said, "Mom, Dad, I'm ready to answer the call to preach the Word of God." And I praise the Lord for that. He did not know the Lord was calling him. And I just want to go back for a minute because it's pretty key in this passage of Scripture. I find it if we go back up to verse 1 real quick, it tells us here in the latter part of the verse, "And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." But yet, I do believe there is no open vision because that priest, Eli, was involved with sin. He had iniquity there. Then the Lord is using Samuel in this passage to pronounce judgment. There is the purpose of this call of God for Samuel. But if you, in my Bible, turn the page, look at the very last verse in this chapter. It tells us there in verse number 21, "And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." So we go from the beginning of the chapter that the word of the Lord was not yet revealed. It was not very often that God revealed and spoke to his priests, his prophets at that time. But when things started to get dealt with, when that iniquity, he had a man, Samuel would turn into a man he would greatly use. No doubt. But Samuel was used to pronounce judgment. He answered the call of God upon his life. He got right with the Lord and stayed right with the Lord. And I ask you tonight, is God calling? Do you have sin in your life? Do you need to come to the altar? Do you need to get right with the Lord? Are you running from the Lord tonight? And I pray that's not the case. You have an opportunity tonight to turn back to the Lord. To say, "Lord, use me as you see fit." If you're unsure God is leading you, like I said a little bit ago, you have men of God here to counsel you. If you don't know, I plead with you, ask. Ask it, "Pastor, how is the Lord? He's speaking to my heart. Let him give you guidance." And I'd like to tell you tonight, and I would be remorse not to give you the same warning. You may miss the call of God, the blessings like Jonah. You may even be judged like Eli, because if you run away from the Lord, if you ignore him, if you just don't know and you don't seek that counsel, he has a purpose, he has a call. There may just be something he'll do to get your attention. And I just ask it, and you're like, "Well, Brother Roper, I can't answer the call of God. I don't feel led to be in full-time Christian service." No, but you can be called to be a Sunday school teacher. You can be called to work on a bus ministry, to sing up in the choir, to make yourself available, because after all, we see here in 1 Samuel chapter number 3, this is exactly what Samuel did. Over and over, he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am." That's his attitude, and I ask you, do we have an attitude of availability tonight? He ran to him and said, "Hey, whatever you say, how can I help you, sir? Are you calling me?" But I encourage you to become the preacher. You're up here in the first row, no doubt, on purpose. Become the preacher tonight. Preach the word of God. It is an honor and it is a privilege and it is, I'll just say, it is awesome to preach the Word of God. Let the Lord use you in a mighty way. Completely surrender Him and don't hold back anything. I'll turn to Isaiah if you'd like to turn there. Isaiah chapter number 6. We have this very familiar passage as well. Isaiah 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. And when he had taken it with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. There it is again. And thy sins purge. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for me, or who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Can you say that tonight, is my question. Can you say to the Lord, here am I, send me? Is there iniquity that is preventing you from saying that? Would you ignore that tonight because you're okay with where you're at? Or do you not know how to answer that call? At the end of your life, will you have anything that you reserved? Will you have retreated in any way? Or will you have any regrets because you have not answered God? Are you willing to allow God to use you as He sees fit? That is the key for us tonight. Are you going to allow God to use you as He sees fit? And I hope tonight that we do exactly that. Heavenly Father, I do thank You for the Word of God. And no doubt you rekindled even more so tonight, and the burden, the desire to be used of You to preach the Word of God, and for young people, the adults here, to answer to what You have already done. You've already spoke to them, no doubt. Some here, and I pray, Heavenly Father, that they would yield and allow You to have full control of their life. May tonight, this day, 12 June 2022, may there someone be here tonight that will just say, Lord, I'm Yours. Use my life in a powerful way. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of sinning and quenching the Spirit. I desire to be used of You. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, have Your way in hearts tonight. As the invitation starts and the piano comes and starts to play softly, I ask you, do you need to do business with the Lord? Do you need to get right? Or do you need to completely submit to His call? I pray that you would do business with the Lord in the matter of your life tonight. Bless now like only You can. In Jesus' name, amen.